much. It's good to see family serving the Lord together. Amen. Appreciate that mother and daughter singing right there. God bless you. Thank you so much. Ephesiastes, good night. Ephesians chapter 3, please. I had Ephesians and Ecclesiastes in my mind. And it came out Ephesiastes. Brother Steve, what are you going to do with me? You know what I mean? Miss Debbie just shaking her head no back there, I'm telling you. Y'all like it when your pastor messes up, don't you? Yeah, right? You enjoy that, don't you? Oh, yes. Thank you. All the kiddos, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. Now, Lauren, you're not 3, 4, 5 now. What are you doing? Samantha, what are you doing? You're not. All 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. Now's your time. Appreciate those who are serving with you. Oh, that'll be good. I do remind the deacons and the Sunday school teachers that Dr. Comfort has requested that Monday night of the revival be a deacon Sunday school teacher night. He'll say more about this when he comes, but I'm just going to inform you what that means. He'd like the deacons and the Sunday school teachers to work at getting people back to the house of God on Monday night. Visitors, regular attenders, you know how he is. I think it's 1 point for regular attenders, 3 points for visitors. You remember Dr. Comfort, all of that. So deacons and Sunday school teachers, you work hard at that. I just didn't want you to see that in the bulletin and wonder, what's that? Okay, that's what that is. Tuesday night is family night. Wednesday night is prophecy night. We're looking forward to this. He'll push these things when he gets here. That'll be a good thing. Tonight, it's not like I'm bypassing the service tonight just in preparation for next Sunday, because let's be honest. The Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And next week may not get here is what I'm trying to say to you. I'll be honest with you that if the Lord came back right now, that'd be okay with me. How about you? But just in case, tonight I'm preaching to you on some things that really we ought to be doing every week of our life. Every week. Every day of our life. And yet, this is something that prepares us for a big day and a big week. I'm talking about revival, next Sunday through next Wednesday. I'm preaching tonight on this subject, how to get the most out of Friend Day and revival. How to get the most out of it. And may I say this to you? The same way you get the most out of that is the same way to get the most out of every church service. Not just a big day, not just revival, but especially a big day, and especially revival. You're here in Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want you to think just a moment. What all can you ask God for? Now think about this statement. What all can we ask God for? And the Bible says here, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Now I'll be honest with you, I scratch my head on that, don't you? Are you awake out there tonight? I'm telling you that no matter what you ask God, the Bible says everything you ask him, and that's limitless. He said he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. You know what that tells us? We don't really understand how powerful of a God we really serve. And I'm telling you that God wants to do some big things. He doesn't want to just do small things. He wants to do medium things. He wants to do large things. He wants to do gigantic things. He wants to do impossible things. He's a God of all power, and he wants to be believed. And as we approach this big day and we approach this revival with this Friend Day and revival just ahead, I felt the Lord just leading me to dwell on how we at this church can get the most out of a meeting that we're preparing for. Now it's time we all see our need of revival. Folks, I'm not saying you need it. I'm telling you I need it. And I'll say this, you ought to say the same thing. If you think you've arrived,
I've got news for you. You have not. Nobody has. We all need revival. I'm telling you, we all stand in need of Holy Ghost-sent revival. I know I need something from God. And while revival does not come in the suitcase of an evangelist, we do need to prepare for what God wants to do in our hearts. Now, this following four-point outline is so simple, it's ridiculous. But yet these 4 points are 4 points that you and I ought to live by when it comes to the house of God. When it comes to when the Word of God's going to be preached, and you know it's going to be preached, thank God you come to a church that one thing you don't have to worry about is what's going to be preached here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You know the truth is going to be given. And you know when Dr. Comfort comes and stands here on Friend Day, he's going to give the gospel gun, barrel, straight. And we know when he preaches Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we know what he says is going to be straight from the Word of the living God. That being the case, let me give you 4 things to do to prepare yourself for Friend Day. To prepare yourself for the revival. And also to prepare yourself for every time you come to the house of God. Number one, simple. Number one, attend. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Now, I told you, it's so simple, it's ridiculous. But you know, it's the simple things in life that changes our life. And I'm going to tell you something, determine you're just going to be here. You say, well, I can't be. Well, it depends on why you can't be. If you're working, God understands that. If you're sick, God understands that. If you're dead, the Lord understands that, okay? If you're going on vacation, that was probably, well, I don't know. I don't know whose fault that is. But anyway, I'm just trying to say something to you here, that it's always God's will when the house of God is open and you can be here, you need to be here. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Now, there's several things I can say here, and I trust that you're planning to be here. And I'm saying to you that, friends, it's hard to receive a blessing from the messages if you're not here to hear them. By the way, the service you miss, I'm not just talking about Friend Day, I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. The service you miss could be the service the Lord was going to speak to your heart. Therefore, if at all possible, you ought to just determine, not just a big day, not just revival. This applies to all the time, but I'm preparing us for revival and for Friend Day. I'm saying, if at all possible, you just be here. You be here. Now, the Word of God commands us in this area. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me give you several reasons here. I know I'm so-called speaking to the choir tonight. You folks are faithful. God bless you. Thank you for being in the house of God on a Sunday night. Many of you come back on Wednesday night. Thank you for your faithfulness. I'm just trying to say this to us. This is what God expects. He expects this. By the way, God's not impressed with us just coming to church. It's the Christian's duty, friends. And this is something I want to encourage you just to be faithful in. God commands it. Secondly, you need it and I need it to mature. What I mean by that, I'm just going to give you these passages just for time's sake. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 teaches this. Talks about that he gave to the church for the perfecting of the saints. You know, pastors and teachers and evangelists and all of that for the perfecting of the saints. Nobody's arrived. You ever come to church and the pastor says something, or your Sunday school teacher says something, and it's like, man, I never saw it that way. I never saw that in that passage. Has that ever happened to you? I hope so, okay? One reason that happens is because God calls a pastor and other people to spend time during the week that some of you do not have the time to spend, and they dig in and they put food on the table because he knows you need it. And folks, I'm telling you, Dr. Comfort, me, others that stand in this pulpit, we do not study for hours just because we love to do it. Now, I love to do it. Thank God for that. But that's not all the reasons why we do it. He's coming with a message from God. And God wants to speak to you. And that's why you should be here. You need it to mature, to get to be more like God. Number three, you ought to be here to encourage God's man. Me, God's man, your Sunday school teacher, Dr. Comfort. It encourages the man of God when he looks out and he sees a good crowd that's come to hear the Word of God. Let me just give you a few more of these, okay? You ought to be here because others are watching you. Others are watching you. We find this in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, 1 Corinthians 4:9, Romans 14:16. If you want this, I'll just give it to you. You don't have to worry about writing stuff down unless you just want to do that. But others are watching you. Let me give you another reason to be faithful to church. It's a good thing. Is it a good thing to be in church? Yes, the right kind of church. You know what James 1:22 says? Excuse me, James 4:17, you know what it says? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. That verse right there makes a whole lot of people sinners. How many good things do you know and you're not doing? You say, oh, here we go. He's convicting me again. Good. Good. Because it's good to be convicted every now and then. Number one, attend. Excuse me. Number two, invite. Now, we've been pushing this. We've been pushing this for a long time. But the Word of God makes it very plain that it's God's will for all of God's children to share the gospel with other people. Now, we know that. It is God's will for God's children to give the gospel to other people. Matthew 28:18-20 teaches this. Mark chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. I apologize. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Now, one of the many ways that you can obey this command to give the gospel to people, to get the Word of God to people, is the invite cards for this Friend Day. Now, we've got more available. We ordered some more. Have they gotten here yet? Good. We ordered some more of those. We've got some posters, well, flyers made, and all of this. All of these things have the gospel on them. This is why I'm encouraging you to use these cards, these invite cards, as your gospel track right now. Because what we want to do is invite people. Hope I don't start hacking up here, you know, like a hacking preacher. I'll suck this down my windpipe. But anyway, and by the way, if you're sitting there thinking, Lord, let him hack, the Lord knows what you're thinking tonight, okay? But anyway, I'm saying this to you. Now, this is so simple, it's ridiculous. Some people will come if they just know about it. I didn't say all, but some will come if we just invite them. This is one reason we're offering a meal. Say, we're providing a meal. I want you to be my friend. We're having Friend Day. Please come be my friend. You can sit with me. We're feeding everybody. It's going to be a great day. Try to get them here. Try to get them here. I've encouraged you to try to write down some names of those that you want to invite. It should become a prayer list. It's a good thing on Saturday night to make some phone calls just to remind people about the big day tomorrow. The invite cards. Sunday school teachers. I did this morning, but Sunday school teachers and superintendents and bus captains, would you raise your hand? Would you do that? Okay, you know who you are. This is one of those days and times that you should contact everybody on your roster. Nobody on your roster should not find out about the big day and the revival. Everybody on your roster should be contacted. And visitation, 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 visitation. Get out and shake the bushes. Now, many of you, most of you, came into your position under Preacher Lashley. And I know he sat down with most of you. I've sat down with some of you that I've brought on and so on, and obviously in the future. And when you took this position, you committed to visitation, to making visits. This is one of those times, turn it on. Turn it on. Are you with me tonight? Turn it on. Get out and shake the bushes. By the way, when I tell you to do something, I'm trying to set the example. I'm going to be out making visits. I'm going to be shaking, not literally shaking bushes, you understand, but I'm going to be shaking the bushes this week. I'm going to be out making visits, out giving gospel, invites out, trying to get people in. I'll be here Saturday. So should you be. If you're not dead or sick or working or gone, you should be here. Saturday, 9 o'clock for breakfast, and then we'll pray and obviously go out together. This is something that we need to do. By the way, this is one of those days that is very, very good. No, I did not suck that down my windpipe, but it sure sounded like it, didn't it? But anyway, I've been struggling with that cruddy stuff. But anyway, this is one of those days that is a great day to focus on your friend. Your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors. I want to embed this in you so much that you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say, is Fran coming? Is Fran coming? Are your friends coming? Are your relatives coming? Are your associates coming? Are your neighbors coming? Or at least have you invited them? You ought to at least invite them. Ask them to come. I'm convinced of this. We know that God builds the church. Amen. We are not in man-made gimmicks to try to get people in here. That is not what we're about. That's not what we're doing. But I'm going to tell you something that God has given to every person to help build this church. I didn't say you build it, but God wants to use us to build it. He gives you what I call, we call it Fran. I also call it this, it's your Jerusalem. Everybody has a Jerusalem. Everybody has an impact circle. People that you work with, people that you live among, your neighbors, your relatives. I'm talking about these things, friends. Invite them. Matter of fact, let me ask it this way. How many of you all have somebody in the area, or I'll even say this, even out of the area because of our live streaming ministry? How many of you all have somebody in the United States? I'll even say this, even in different parts of the world where they speak English, they understand English. How many of y'all have an English-speaking person somewhere either here or around this nation or in another part of the world that you are concerned, you're not trying to judge, but you're concerned that they are lost? Would you raise your hand? You have somebody like that, okay? That's a lot of us. I'm with you on that. This is a day to invite them. You say, even if they're in Mexico? Yes. By live streaming. Find out for them so they have no excuses. And say, now this time, your time, if you'll get on Buffalo Ridge, whatever the website is there, and you'll click on the live streaming button, you can go to church with me as my friend, and it would honor me to know that you're going to church with me that day. Wouldn't it be great for you to get to heaven someday and somebody you invited in another part of the country listened in to Dr. Comfort as he preaches next week, and when Dr. Comfort tries to lead people to Christ, they are being led to Christ over the live streaming. Amen, friends. That can happen. But only if you invite. Number one, attend. Number two, invite. Number three, pray. Revival can happen. It is possible to see a mighty moving of God, but it will not come without God's people praying. It will not come. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. By the way, there's a sign-up sheet available out on the bulletin board out there on next Saturday from 6 in the morning till 6 at night, a 12-hour slot, 30-minute increments, I think it is, a place for you to sign to pray that for 12 hours, somebody from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, God willing, will be praying for 12 hours solid, 30-minute increments, for the revival, for the big day, for all the invite cards, for people to come, for people to be saved. Folks, I'll say this, if our heart is right with God, and we get on our face and beg God, and we believe God, God will do something here. He will do something. Powerful prayer. Let me give you a list here. Powerful prayer includes several things. And I'm calling on us. This is all preparing for revival by preparing in our prayer closets. Robert Murray McChain said, a man is what he is on his knees and no more. He is what he is on his knees and no more than that. Let me give you several things that powerful praying involves. Number one, letter A under this, it involves confession. You don't have to turn with me, but if you'd like to try to keep up with me, you can, but you probably won't because I have them marked, so I've kind of cheated on you here a little bit. First John chapter 1, verse 9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Psalm 32, verse number 5, I don't have all these marks, so you have to bear with me here. But in Psalm 32, verse number 5, the Word of God says it this way, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. In other words, the first thing about prayer and powerful praying, including, it includes confession. I want to ask you a question, and only you can answer this. Is your heart really, truly right with God? It cannot be if it's wrong with another human being. It cannot be if you know you're disobeying something he's told you to do or not do. It cannot be if you're holding bitterness in your heart. Follow me where I'm going? It cannot be if we're living in disobedience to the Lord. You may tell, preacher, lastly, I believe you'd agree with this. I am convinced that one reason we do not see revival in America is what I call proud Christians. People who know in their heart that something's not right, but they're too proud to admit it, even to God, who already knows anyway. Could it be that God is waiting on one person in this congregation to come and get clean, and then the heavens open and the blessing of God comes? I remind you, it only took one person in the Israelites' army to remove the blessing of God. His name was Achan. And he didn't do anything big. He just disobeyed God. And he buried something in his tent that nobody else knew about but him, God, and his family. And it destroyed that nation at that time. Could it be that God's whispering to somebody right now and says, yes, the pastor's preaching it. I want to do something. I want to do something strong. I want to bless Buffalo Ridge like it's never been blessed. I want to take that church to the next level like it's never been taken. I want that church to grow like it's never grown. Hey, God wants all of that, friends. God wants this church to grow like it's never grown before. God wants this church to go to the next level. God wants to bless this church like he's never blessed it. And by the way, he's blessing us now. But he wants to pour it on. I'm convinced that one reason that doesn't happen is because maybe there's something going on here and something going on there and something going on here, and somebody's too stubborn to get it right there, and somebody's too stubborn to get it right there, and somebody's too stubborn to get it right there. And God just sits back and says, I can't bless them like I want to bless them. You want me to tell you something, friends? The Old Testament said they limited the Holy One of God. I don't want to limit Him. Do you? Do you want to limit God? I don't. Our sin can limit Him. Confession. I'm talking about number three, pray. Pray what? Confess your sin. Get right with God. Secondly, powerful prayer includes humiliation. We see this in Psalm 9, verse number 12. Different passages of Scripture. Here's what it says. It says, when He maketh inquisition for blood, He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. He does not forget the cry of the humble. In James chapter number 4, verses 6 and 10, the Word of God puts it this way. In James chapter 4, verses 6 and 10, it says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Powerful praying involves confession, getting right with God. Powerful praying involves humiliation, bowing before God. Number three, powerful prayer includes separation. Here's what I mean. In Psalm 66, verse number 18, the Bible puts it this way. Psalm 66, verse 18, it says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What that means is this. If you regard something, it means you know it's there, but you do nothing about it. What I mean by separation is God not only wants you to confess sin, He wants you to forsake sin. That's what this point means. It means separating yourself from anything that keeps God from hearing you pray. I ask a question, is there anything in your heart that you know is not right and you're regarding it? You know it's there, but you refuse to do anything about it. Again, life is bigger than me. I've got to have it where God's hearing me pray. Do you not have to have, just have to know, that when you say Heavenly Father, He says, yes. I don't want God doing this. Do you? I don't want God saying, I'm not going to listen to you. But the Word of God plainly says in this verse, if I regard iniquity, if iniquity is in my heart, I know it's not right, and I'm just regarding it, and I do nothing about it. God said, don't pray, I'm not listening to you. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. I've got to know God's listening to me. You do too, by the way. We need God. Talking about praying, this is the third point here, pray. Attend, invite, pray. And powerful praying includes confession, getting right with God, humiliation, bowing before God, separation, getting away from sin. Number four, adoration. Adoration. This is found in Psalm 95, verse number 6. Well, the Bible teaches it this way. Psalm 95, verse number 6 says this, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. In Psalm 99, verse number 9, the Bible says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. In Psalm 18, verse number 3, the Bible puts it this way, as I'm turning here. In Psalm 18, verse number 3, it says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And then in Nehemiah chapter number 9, verse number 3, it says this, as they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God, one fourth part of the day, and another fourth part they confessed and worshiped the Lord. You know what the word worshiped here carries the idea of? Adoring. And let me ask you a question. Is there anybody you adore in this life? I do. She's at home tonight with some sick children. I adore my wife. I don't worship her, but I adore her. May I say this to you? God wants our worship not just to be out of duty, but out of adoration. He wants us to willingly bow before Him because He really does mean that much to us. And really, He's the only one that deserves our worship and our praise. I'm just talking to you tonight. I'm trying to pastor you tonight. Not pester you, but pastor you. And I'm trying to prepare you, not for just this big day, but really for life. Attend when the house of God is opened. Invite others to come to hear the message. Pray that God will bless. And if you pray, it includes confession, getting right with God. It includes humiliation, bowing before God. It includes separation, getting away from sin that hinders him from hearing. It includes adoration, just worshiping him in beauty and holiness. And then fifthly, it includes expectation. I like this. In Matthew chapter 21, verse number 22, the Bible puts it this way. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 22, the Bible says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." The Bible also says in John chapter 14 and verses 13 and 14, it says this, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name," in other words, he would ask it himself. It's in his name. He agrees. "Whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Do you believe that? Be careful before you say amen. Do you believe that? Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus interested in saving sinners? And if you pray for him to save people, is that not praying in Jesus' name? But yet, if they're not here, how's he going to save them? See, it motivates us to put feet to our prayers, you understand? And we go out and invite and invite and invite, and we get on our face and say, "Oh God, would you help somebody come who needs Jesus? Would you help somebody to remember, hey, they're having a big day there. Would you bring a child or a teenager or an adult or all the above, Lord?" And as the message is being preached, may there be lost people here. And may they receive it. May they respond to it. And may it be the day of salvation. Now, he will not run roughshod over them. He's not going to force them to walk the aisle, but I'll tell you how he will answer that prayer. If they come, he'll speak to them. He'll say, "You need me." And if they respond, he's there to say yes. You say, "What are you saying?" I'm saying this. God wants us to expect him to answer our prayers. You ever been guilty like your pastor's been guilty of praying because you know it's the right thing to do, but you really don't believe God's going to do it? Am I the only one that's ever been guilty of that? I mean, I'm praying, I'm asking God for something, but I mean, my faith is so little, it's like I'm praying, but I really don't expect this to happen. God doesn't like praying like that. God wants us to get on our face and expect him to say yes. Expect him to answer our prayers. William Carey put it this way. He said, "Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." Now we're looking at this. How to make the most out of Friend Day. How to make the most out of a revival. It's really how to make the most out of any service. You attend, you come, you be here. You invite others to come so they hear the message and they can respond. You pray and you beg God that he moves and that he works. Encourage many of you to sign up on one of those slots. And if all those slots get taken, sign up on a slot that's already taken. I think God's okay with two or three people praying at the same time, don't you? Say, "Well, the slot that's already taken is the one that I wanted." Then put your name there beside it and pray with somebody else. I'm just saying, you pray right where you're at. All of these things, let's bombard heaven with prayers. And as we pray, let's make sure we confess and know that our heart's right with God. Let's come to him in humiliation and humbly and bowing before him and separating from things that's hindering him from hearing us and adoring him and expecting him to move and to answer and to respond. And then finally, number four, by the way, talking about confession, When one falls in the mud in a dark valley, he'll not know how dirty he is until he progresses towards the light. And the closer he gets to the light, the more filthy he can see. And what I'm saying to you is you just get close to God. And God will show you things in your life that needs to change. He does with me. The best Christian in this room, I don't know who that is. But the best Christian in this room, when they get close to God, God will show them something in their life that needs to change. We need to confess. We need to come clean with God. I cannot tell you how often I pray, Lord, forgive me for the things I know I've done wrong, and forgive me the things I don't even know I've done. Do you understand? Sometimes we sin, don't even know it. We don't even know it. So we need to ask God to forgive us. We need to pray. No doubt about it. Then the final point tonight, we need to yield or surrender. In order to get the most out of a local church meeting, decide now that you're going to yield to whatever God tells you to do. In other words, submit to the Lord's authority in your life. This is found in James 1:22, James 4, 7 and 8, Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Here's what I mean. Determine now that your answer is yes to whatever God tells you. I mean, if Dr. Comfort gets up here and preaches on something and God says, that's you, yes, Lord. If he's preaching on something and God deals with you about something completely different, he didn't even preach about it, but the Lord put his finger on something else, yes, Lord. He deals with you about soul winning or Bible reading or getting something right with somebody else or getting rid of bitterness, whatever it is, yes, Lord. Hey, that's how you can have a good revival. That's how you'd have a good big day. Say, God, not only speak to them, speak to me. And I want you to know, God, whatever you tell me, my answer is yes. Now, as we come to a close tonight, this is a little different service. I think you've sensed that. We're not going through our book study and all of this kind of stuff together. We're preparing. Not just for the big day, but especially for the big day. Not just for the revival, but especially for the revival. How can we make the most out of this, God? Be here, attend. Invite others to come so they can hear the message and respond. Pray and beg God to meet with us. And yield to whatever God tells you to do. Now, folks, isn't that simple? Isn't that so simple? Like I said in the opening, it's ridiculous. But is that not really where we fail in the simple truths of God's Word? So I'm calling on you, church. Do you want this area to have what this church has to offer? I hope you do. Amen. I hope you do. If you don't, why are you here? Now, I'm serious about that. I'm not trying to run anybody off. God knows my heart, but if you can't recommend this church, why are you here? And honestly, I hope nobody leaves, okay, but I'm just saying, you need to be in a church that you can recommend. You need to come to this church. I'm going to tell you something. They'll preach the gospel. They're going to give it to you straight. They'll show you how you can go to heaven. Hey, that's what kind of church this is. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm calling on you. Let's determine. I'm going to be here. I'm going to invite others. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to yield. This is it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would you help us in this? These simple thoughts tonight, I pray that you'll bless them and touch them and anoint them with your power and your presence. I pray that you will be glorified and honored and praised. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Obviously, the altar's always open for anybody that needs to trust Christ, anybody that needs to be born again, anybody that's not sure that heaven's their home. The altar's always open for that. Tonight's a little bit different invitation.
How about it, church? Are you prepared for this? Are you ready for it? Are you ready for the big day? Are you ready for the revival? Have you Sunday school teachers and bus captains commit yourself this week to getting out and making visits and making many visits and doing your best to reach everybody on your roster, inviting others? You commit yourself as a Sunday school teacher, a Sunday school superintendent, a Sunday school worker, a bus captain especially. You commit yourself to make visits this week, to get out and to invite people and to invite many people to church. Just trying to get these invitations out and inviting your own people on your rosters. You commit to that. Would you raise your hand? You say, I'm going to do that. Yes. God bless you. Thank you. How many of the rest of you that maybe you don't work in Sunday school, or maybe you're not on the bus route, but you're just a regular church member here, but you say, Pastor, I'm committing myself to make some visits this week. I'm going to invite people. I'm going to give some invitations this week. That's a visit, you see. I'm going to commit myself to invite people to this big day coming up next week and this revival. I'm committing myself just as a regular church person. Would you raise your hand? Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I want them to begin to play through softly. And I believe here's how God is leading me. I believe our confession of our own sin needs to begin tonight. So I'm calling on this church to pray, to get on our face, and really asking God to touch the big day, but more importantly at first, to help our hearts to be ready and right. So when I pray, I'm going to get on the altar myself. And I never want anybody to come because they feel pressured. But I would like to invite you to join me. And I want us to start with just making sure our own hearts are right with God. Getting honest with God. Getting honest with the Lord. Father, would you help us tonight? And as we pray, fill us with the Spirit of God. And help us, Lord, to confess and be humble and separate from anything that's hindering you, to truly adore and worship you and expect you to do great things. Would you do this, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just playing through right now, Brother Gary. I'd like to sing this in just a little bit, but just let her play through it right now. I'm going to the altar. And if you'd like to join me now. just sing that, Brother Gary, if you don't mind.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts I pray.
Sing it one more time.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray.
Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll be dismissed in prayer. I want to ask Preacher Lashley, if you wouldn't mind, sir, how many big days you've had, how many revivals you've had. It would be very appropriate to have you dismiss us in prayer, praying for the big day, if you wouldn't mind, sir, please.